Good morning. So now that the cat's out of the bag and you know what we're talking about this morning, I ask that you don't click the X or tune me out just yet. Give me a little bit of grace. I don't get to preach that often, so just have some pity on me and just listen at least for a little while. For those of you that may be listening online or are here this morning and don't know who I am, my name is Rudy, and I'm one of the elders here at Restoration. And out of some sick joke, Adam gave me the giving sermon in this series. Out of all the sermons in the series, he gave me giving. So he says something about it was just timing, the way it worked out. But we all know Adam plans everything at least 6 months in advance. In all seriousness, though, I'm kind of excited about this sermon. I'm excited about the topic. And I know for many of you, now you say, well, now we know he's crazy. We thought it before. Now we know it. But I'm not excited because I grew up a preacher's kid or I was a full-time pastor for 8 years in North Carolina before we moved here. I'm excited because by the grace of God, I grew up in such a way and was taught in such a way from an early age that I see giving as an act of worship. So it's always just been kind of ingrained in me. So before I had to start making budgets and paying my own bills, I was already taught the concept of tithing and giving. So it was just already built in and ingrained in me. So I didn't have to switch gears when I already had a bunch of bills laying on my desk. And so that's a huge blessing in my life. But it's gotten me to the point where I enjoy the topic. I like the topic. I think it's something that we should probably talk about a little more in the church today as we tend to shy away from it sometimes, just as a whole sometimes. But if you're listening and you're thinking, okay, I've called this church, and this is one of those churches that are always begging for my money, I just want you to know that you've called us in our summer series, which is entitled We Are the Church. And we're in week 3, and we're talking about a lot of different topics, giving including, that makes us who we are as the church and are part of the things that we do as a church. And each week we start with this one saying that God's being leads to God's doing, which leads to our being, which fuels our doing. And you say, what in the world does that mean? And what does that have to do with my giving? Well, that's the gospel. You say, well, what does the gospel have to do with my giving? Well, everything. Because see, if you give to God and you do things and you serve, but you just do it out of blind obedience or if you do it out of some idea that we'll gain merit with God or that we have to get to be saved, then you don't need the gospel. But see, that's not what was ever intended to be. That's not what our life as a believer was intended to be. But see, Jesus tells us in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we're not obedient out of some guilt-ridden duty. We're obedient because we love God. And you say, well, why do we love Jesus? Simple, the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is that while we were still sinners, while we were enemies of God, God loved us enough that he became part of his creation to be mocked, ridiculed, and ultimately falsely condemned, crucified, and killed to pay a debt that we could never pay and to offer us a salvation that we could never earn. That's the gospel. And that changes everything. Because see, when the gospel becomes real in my life and when the gospel becomes real in your life, living for God is no longer work. It's worship. Say that again. When the gospel becomes real in our lives, living for God is no longer work. It's worship. So it doesn't matter what we're talking about in this series, serving, giving, bearing, leading, whatever the case may be, whatever the topic is that Sunday, when the gospel is real in our life, it's no longer work, it's worship. Because we're doing it because of God's love for us. And because of God's love for us, we can't help but love him. It's just an immediate byproduct of that love. And see, I think that's the biggest hindrance for most people when it comes to anything with God, especially giving, is we don't view it as worship. We view it as a hindrance in our life and an obstacle to overcome. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And when I was studying for this sermon, I found some statistics that I thought were kind of interesting. I want to share them with you. You may not think they're interesting, but I did. I like that kind of stuff. It goes with my personality. So if you don't like it, I'm sorry, but here you go. You're going to get them anyways. Only 10 to 25% of a church congregation faithfully and regularly tithes. That's 10 to 25%. Christians give on average only 2.5% of their income to the church. Only 1% of people that make over $75,000 a year donated 10% or more. However, people making less than $20,000 a year are 8 times more likely to give. And the kicker, 80% of those who faithfully give to the church have 0 credit card debt. So interesting facts to think about and consider when it comes to giving. And so now what I want to do is I want to dive into the scripture. We're going to look at some Old Testament and we're going to look at some New Testament. And then we'll see how they all tie together. But before we dive into scripture, I want to open us up in a word of prayer. So let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we thank you for the gospel. And it is the fact that it is the gospel that fuels everything we do as believers. And we thank you that you loved us, even when we didn't deserve it. And Lord, that you've given us salvation when we could never earn it. And we're so thankful for that. I pray that you'll be with us here this morning. I pray that you would speak through me as I preach on this very difficult topic sometimes. And I just pray that your truth would take the forefront this morning, Lord, and you would just open our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say to us this morning. Lord, I pray for the other churches in the area who are proclaiming your name this morning. I pray specifically for David Barton and our friends at Creekside Church. I pray that you just continue to be with them as they grow in their ministry in the Goose Creek area. And I just pray that you would work mightily through them as they grow your kingdom there. And Lord, we just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to start in Leviticus 27. All right, Leviticus 27, verses 30 through 32. I'm going to move kind of quick. All the verses will be on the screen because I got 3 different books of the Bible I'm going to read out of the Old Testament. All right? So if you've been through Starting Point, a lot of this will hopefully recall in your memory a little bit. It's kind of a lot of the same verses we use in Starting Point. All right, so thus, all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If therefore a man wishes to redeem part of his tithe, he shall add to it 1/5 of it. For every 10th part of herd or flock, whatever passes under the rod, the 10th one shall be holy to the Lord. In Numbers 18, 20 through 21, then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor own any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the sons of Israel. To the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance. In return for their service which they perform, the service of the tent of meeting, as in Ezekiel 44:30, the first of all the first fruits of every kind and every contribution of every kind from all your contributions shall be for the priest. You shall also give to the priest the first of your dough to cause a blessing to rest on your house. So we can get numerous truths from these 3 passages in the Old Testament. First, we see that 10% that everyone's always talking about, that 10% tithe, and we'll talk more about that later. But we see that there in the Old Testament in these passages. We also see that the Israelites are commanded to tithe so that the priest can do the work of the Lord and minister to the Israelites without having to worry about their own provisions. So they didn't have to worry about another job or growing their crops or whatever. That the Israelites, the rest of the Israelites, took care of the priest. So we see that, but most importantly, what we see here is that they're commanded to tithe to teach them about who God is. Because see, tithing is not just about gratitude, it's about faith too. If you read there and you listen and you hear, they have to give their first fruits. So God says, the firstborn of your flock belongs to the Lord. The first harvest, you take off of that and you give to God. But what if that was it? What if your first harvest was your only harvest? What if then a flock of locusts come through and you had no other harvest? What if the firstborn was your only born? Then what? See, there's more to giving than just gratitude and understanding of that it all belongs to God. And as we read in Haggai 2:8, that every blessing is from God and everything belongs to God. It's more than that. It's faith. It's trusting that God will provide what we need if we're faithful to Him and what He's already blessed us with. It's trusting God and knowing that He will always be faithful. And so many people say, okay, Rudy, that's great. That's fine and dandy. That's the Old Testament. That doesn't apply to us anymore. We're the New Testament church. We live under grace, not the law. And as Lee Corso would say, not so fast, not so fast. Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to destroy the law. And when Jesus brought up the law in the New Testament, He always doubled down and took it up a notch. You say, what do you mean? Jesus says, you've heard it said that you do not murder. But I say, if you have hate in your heart, you've already murdered. Jesus said, you heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I say, if you've lusted in your heart, you've already committed adultery. So Jesus took the Old Testament law and He made it about the heart. And then if you look at Jesus' teachings, Jesus talked more about money than He did heaven and hell combined. Almost one third, it's like 28%, I did the math. Almost one third of, it's 31%. Almost one third of Jesus' parables deal with money. Almost one third. The only thing when Jesus was on earth that He talked about more than money was the kingdom of God. That's it. So what does it say? What does Jesus say? Well, in Luke 16, Jesus says this. Again, it'll be on the screen. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And then in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, Jesus is teaching us giving is a lot more of a heart issue than it is anything else. And when God has the entirety of your heart, He'll have your wallet too. You see, for many of us, we've concerned ourselves with too much with our treasures here on earth, and we've forgotten about the treasure in heaven. And just like in the Old Testament, giving was to point people to who God is. It's the same thing in the New Testament. Sacrificial giving with a heart of gratitude and worship points us to who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. It's not about giving up a part of your hard-earned money. It's about thanking God for blessing you with that money. It's about thanking God for giving you the ability to have that job, the ability to make that income, the ability to have the things that we have. And we're so thankful to God for that, that we can't help but worship Him by giving Him back some of it for His kingdom, for His growth, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what giving is about. I want to read to you an email that Adam received, and then he shared with the rest of the elders to encourage us. And it was literally the week I was writing this sermon. And I started to paraphrase it, but I was like, I can't do it justice paraphrasing. So I asked the person who sent it if they cared if I read the email, and they gave me permission. So here you go. I'm going to read the email. It says, hi, Adam. I wanted to share something with you in the event that it encourages you as much as it did me. A few Sundays back, probably more than a few, you preached on praying big, specific prayers. You told us to start praying big, specific prayers. You also encouraged us to pray that we will build our church building without going into debt. I love that message. And I thought, how can I pray big, specific prayers. Where do I start? So I started with what you told us to pray. And surprise, surprise, God responded with, you are part of the solution here. A little backstory. I don't know if you know or not, but I was very unexpectedly furloughed from my job on April 7th. Money all of a sudden became a worry. I've been incredibly blessed not to have to worry about that ever in the past. I literally just bought a house in August, and I felt sure God was there in the decision-making process. So why would he take my job now when I have a mortgage to pay? So logically, my next step was to sit down and rework my budget and see what I needed to cut out to make it all work. Prior to this moment, I had been actually out of the habit of tithing because I had never registered with a new system when Giving Fire went away. And side note, by the way, if you are not aware, we did go away from Giving Fire to a new app called PushPay. If you have not re-registered with PushPay or ever registered before, you can do that on our website or our new app. That's right, we're hip. We have an app. So just so you know, we brought some young people on the elder team and staff and got Adam into the new generation. So we have an app. And if you do not have the app, after church, of course, not now because you need to be listening. If you do not have the app, just go to the app store, download it, and there you go. You have the app. You can give through the app. You can get announcements through the app. It's a great tool. If you're one of those weird people that use an Android, I don't know where you get your apps from. You have to figure that out yourself. But back to the email. So this time when writing my budget, I budgeted for tithing, close to the amount I was tithing when I was still working. So fast forward a few weeks into furlough, and Satan reminded me of the amount of money I was giving to the church and how much easier it would be if I just stopped tithing until I got my job back. Right about the time I was praying for the church building to be debt-free, I felt God say, you are part of the solution. Do not touch your tithing amount. And I said, okay, God, if that is what you're going to have me do, then I need you to provide that money because I don't know how it will all work out. I'll be living on my savings halfway through the month, and I have no idea when I go back to work. I kid you not, that afternoon I got an email asking for my new address because my last rental agreement company had an unclaimed security deposit to send me. I laughed out loud. I for sure thought I'd already received that back in September. But I said, okay, awesome. I hear you, God. It's yours, whatever the amount is. A week later, it came. And the amount was within $5 of my tithing amount. I laughed and cried a bit. He provided the exact amount I asked him to bring. Month two rolls around, still on furlough, still committed to tithing, still praying, make it happen. It's all yours anyway. Kid you not, second unexpected check arrives in the mail. Apparently there was an excess amount of money in my escrow this year. How much? Again, within $5 of my tithing commitment. Now it's just funny to me, and the beautiful thing is my faith is just growing each time this happens. And then month three, June, I randomly check a bank account that I use to transfer money between my parents and myself for various things, mainly our phone bill since they use my discount. The scheduled monthly transfers has stopped months ago, little to my knowledge. And guess how much money had accumulated? My tithing amount. I can't make this stuff up. God is so faithful. I'm stingy with my money, and he keeps teaching me and showing me, let go. I will take care of you. I care for the birds and the bees. How much more do I love you? I got you. And seeing him answer such a specific prayer was just like you said. God was happy to show up and show up big. Three times completion. I can't help but smile at the story. Month four, I'm back at work. He is so good. And that's just one of the many, many stories I've heard over the years of people who trusted God and trusted him to be faithful to them, and they stepped out in faith with their finances, and God showed up in big, big ways. And I'm not saying that that means you won't have to sacrifice. I'm not saying that doesn't mean you may not have to give up something. But God will always show up. And I get it. I get it. I hear people tell me all the time, Rudy, I just can't afford to tithe. And although I'm of the belief that you can't afford not to, I understand. I get that most Americans are drowning in debt and living paycheck to paycheck, and it is a huge ask to step out in faith and give more of your money away and add another bill to your budget. I get it. And it may mean you have to cut back something, but I promise you, it's worth it. If you have to cut cable, if you have to cut Starbucks, if you have to cut the fast food restaurants, and maybe you have to buy some pork and beans for a little while, it's worth it. I promise. Your body will thank you from cutting out the fast food, and your mental state and spiritual state will thank you as well. But I want to talk for a second, though, about some of the people like me. And when I say like me, I'm not saying that in a legalistic, pharisaical type way, like look at me. I'm just talking about someone who grew up in church. Tithing's really never been a problem for you because you were taught tithing when you were a kid, like I said earlier. And so you didn't have to learn to budget tithing when you were an adult. You already did it when you were a kid. And so you just grew up that way. So it's already kind of in your budget. You've got that faithful 10% that comes off the top, and you're good. And you've been sitting here listening the whole time thinking, that's right, Rudy, tell them. If the other 75% would give, you know, then we could pay for that building outright. And yeah, that may be true. But I want to ask you something. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, this doesn't apply to me, do you give the right way? I want to talk about a story real quick in Luke 21. And in this story, Jesus is at the temple. And while he's there at the temple, everyone's bringing their tithes and offerings to the temple complex to give their tithes and offerings. And Jesus looks up and he sees a widow come up and drop two small coins into the box. And Jesus stops what he's doing. And he looks up and he says, that woman right there, that widow, gave more than everybody else. And I'm sure everybody's sitting there thinking, what in the world are you talking about? Did you see what she dropped? It was nothing. But Jesus says she gave more because she gave all she had. She sacrificially gave till it hurt and gave God all she had. See, that's where New Testament giving takes Old Testament giving and chops it up a notch. Because, see, 10% is a good starting point, but 10% is not where it stops. The New Testament calls for sacrificial giving. So I want to ask you, for those who say, well, this don't apply to me because I've always given my 10%, have you ever given till it hurts? Have I ever given till it hurts? Have you or I ever sacrificed something we wanted to give to God? Have we ever had to look at our budget and say, you know what? I can cut this and give that money to the ministry of God. Because see, yes, it's great if you're faithfully, regularly giving. But it's also very easy for that to become just a box to check. Just a box to check. Yeah, I gave this month. I gave my money. We have come accustomed to living on the 90%. But sometimes we become like the Pharisees in Matthew 23:23, where Jesus looks at them and says, yes, you've given, but your heart's not in it. See, nowhere in that story are we told that the people that were given other than the widow were not given their 10%. Nowhere are we told that they were given less than they were supposed to. Jesus just says that woman gave more because she gave out of sacrifice. She gave all she had to God. And so when you look at the New Testament, that's what giving is. And so I want to do a little something here. I want to talk about what giving is and what it is not. And I want to start with the negative of what it is not. Number one, it's not a reward system. Because despite what some people may tell you on TV, and despite what people may tell you on the radio, we don't give to God expecting something in return. And God does not, I repeat, does not promise to bless you immensely with health and more wealth if you give him your money. That is nowhere in Scripture. That is not the gospel. That is heresy. We give to God because everything is already his anyways. And we give to God out of gratitude and worship because we want to see his kingdom grow. We understand that it takes money to do the kingdom of God and to do ministry. So we want to give as much as we can to that ministry because we want to build our treasures in heaven, not on earth. It's not a reward system. God is not some genie in the bottle that if we give him enough stuff, if we serve enough, if we do enough, God's going to give us more favor. That's not how it works. That's not the gospel. Number two, it's not a mandated percentage. As I've said already, it's a good starting point for most people. And that may not be your starting point. Maybe you're here this morning and you said, there is no way I could afford to take 10% out of my income and give it to God. I want to challenge you and push you to say, well, is that true? Or would you not be able to comfortably do that? Can you really not do it? Or would it just make it a little uncomfortable if you did it? But I want to challenge you to really look at that. But it is a starting point. For many of us in America today, 10% is not enough. We're not given sacrificially to give 10% because God has blessed us so much. But only you and God know where you stand on that. I do know some people that in the Christian entertainment industry that they do what's called reverse tithing. And so they tithe 80% of their income just because that's how much God has blessed them. So just to let you know, there are people out there that do that. So I don't know if anyone here is in that state, but just so you know. If you are, praise Jesus, let's reverse tithe and pay for that building. Number three, it is not a box to check. For so many times as Christians, we fall into just a mindless routine. We get in a groove and we just walk through life checking off boxes. I serve in the kids' ministry. I pay my 10%. I do this. I do that. I'll read my Bible this morning, but I really don't get anything out of it. I just read it because I get a reminder to read it, and I want to go read through the Bible in a whole year, every year. So I just read it just to check a box. Box check, box check, box check, box check. Which puts me into what giving is. Giving is cheerful. And cheerful comes from the heart. See, everything about Christianity starts with the heart. And if we ever get to the point as believers that we are constantly reminding ourselves of the gospel of Jesus Christ and we're reminding ourselves of what that is, you say, well, the gospel is just for salvation. No, it's not. The gospel is the center of who we are. It is the foundation, center block of what Christianity is. That's the gospel. Everything we do should hinge and build off the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that makes us who we are. That makes us different than every other religion out there because the gospel says that we do nothing to gain our salvation. No works whatsoever. Our works are the fruit, not the root. The root is the gospel. That's where it all starts. And if we constantly remind ourselves of the gospel, it changes our heart. And when our hearts change, everything else changes. Our serving changes, our leading changes, our giving changes. Everything about who we are as a Christian changes when we fall in love with Jesus. And we fall in love with Jesus when we constantly remind ourselves of what Jesus did for us through the gospel. Number two, giving is regular. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 16, on the first day of the week, each of you is to set something aside and save in keeping with how he prospers, so that no collections will be needed when I'm come. I don't know what's regular for you. Everybody's different. For me, I get paid salary, so we give once a month. I got it set up that on first of every month, our tithing comes right out, and it's there, done. I make the same thing every month. That's just the way my job works. So for people who, that's not your thing, maybe you tithe every week, you give every week, maybe it's bi-monthly, whatever the case may be for you. But the third thing is sacrificial. And I have pounded that and pounded that and pounded that, so I don't want to keep pounding it. But giving in the New Testament is sacrificial. It should hurt a little bit. Not because we want to be like we want to get into the idea that the only way to serve God is to make it hurt. It's because it's just a reminder that it's not ours. And if it doesn't hurt a little bit, it's hard to remind ourselves that it's not ours. It's His. And our treasure's not here. Our treasure is in heaven. If you were able to read Adam's email that comes out every Thursday this week, and watch the video, or maybe you saw the video on Facebook as people shared it, you currently know that we are currently short about $300,000 to get into our building. We do have the money in the bank to pay for the construction cost of the building, but that would also put us with a zero balance in the bank if we took it all out of the bank. We have all the money given to us that the bank will give us at this time, so that is not an option for us. And the $300,000 we're short are for everything we need to actually have church in the building. It's for lights, sound equipment, chairs, unless you want to stand. Furniture for the kids, toys for the kids, all that stuff that you have to have when you walk into a building, that's the cost. And also, for people who may not know, if you've been to our property and you look, that building that's a kind of an eyesore right now to the left as you come in, our vision for that is to turn that into our youth building for our middle and high school students. We originally hoped that we could do that before we even got into the main building and let them go ahead and start meeting there. I want to say that we are extremely grateful and thankful for Yeamans Hall Presbyterian Church for their generosity and their hospitality over the past 7 years to let us use their facilities. But the reality is it has also handicapped what we were able to do for our youth. And we are a growing church that we really need to step up our game when it comes to our middle and high school kids. And there's a lot of things we would love to do for them. But again, that takes money. And I want to clarify, as Adam always says, and we would 100% believe, it is not about the building. It's not about the main building at the end of Miami Street, and it's not about the youth building. It's about the ministry. But we also live in a reality, and we know that with those buildings, we can do more for the gospel and for the kingdom of God. If we had to stay here for 10 more years, God could still work, and God could still do mighty things. But God has given us the opportunity to have our own facilities, which would open up more doors for us to do more things for more people. But that all costs money. And that's just reality. And I want to brag for a second because I want to. Adam does it sometimes, but as an elder, I want to brag on Restoration Community Church. For those who may not know, when we sat down with the company that helped us do the Immeasurable Project 2.5 years ago, they looked at us and they told us that based on our size, our demographics, and our current giving, that we could expect to raise about $350,000 for Immeasurable. We all kind of pushed back and we said, well, that doesn't sound right based on what we know about our people. They pushed back at us and said, well, you might get a 10 or 15% lift, but don't count on it because we do this for a living. We're right 98% of the time, so this is what you need to plan for. In February of 2018, when everyone turned in their commitment cards, with the first fruits and the pledged monthly gifts, we raised $615,000, almost twice what they told us we could raise. And then to top that off, they told us, don't expect to get 100% of what you're committed to. You don't expect to get that. Because it's not going to happen. People are going to lose their jobs. Things are going to happen. People are going to move away. You're not going to get all your money. Here we are in month 30 of the 30-month commitments. July is month 30 for most people. We have raised $660,000, $45,000 more than what was committed. When the company told us we could only raise $350,000 and we weren't even going to get that. We raised $660,000 in Immeasurable. That is awesome. That is great. And then you look at the fact that here we are in the midst of a pandemic. We haven't met in person. We didn't meet in person for a month and a half. People in our church lost their jobs, were furloughed, had their pays cut, lost their investments in the stock market, but our tithes and offerings never suffered through the whole time. And I can promise you, the pastors I know from my time in full-time ministry, there's a lot of churches that can't say the same thing. There's a lot of churches right now that are hurting because they weren't able to meet. But God has blessed us because of the generosity of this church. And then when you look at Restoration Women, and over the summer they have been doing a raffle with baskets to raise money for our three missionary families. They've done two and raised over $1,500 already, with the third one about to start this week. $1,500 in the summer to raffle off some baskets to help our missionaries. It's awesome. And that's not even telling you all the stories that we know as an elder team of people in this church who have privately stepped up and generously helped people in this church and in their community just because they wanted to. And I want you to know that as an elder team and as a staff, we are so thankful and so proud of the generosity of Restoration Community Church. We are. And just as 2.5 years ago, I was sitting in that room and I knew that those people were wrong, I know that we are still generous today. I knew how generous this church was 2.5 years ago, and I know where we are today. And I know God will provide everything we need to get us to where I believe with all my heart He has put us at the end of Miami Street. I believe that with all of my heart. And as an elder team, we have been fasting and we have been praying that God would let us get into that building debt free. And we do believe that God is going to provide. We trust God. We know that God is faithful. So I want to ask a few things of you. I can't preach a sermon about giving without application. I'm sorry. I got to do it. I am proud of you, but I got to ask some things. If you're either listening online or here this morning, and you would call Restoration home, but you do not faithfully give as a tithe, I would ask that you pray about that. That you seek God's guidance and ask Him to show you how you could sacrificially give with a heart of gratitude and worship. Whatever that number may be. But I would ask you, whatever the first number that pops in your head, challenge yourself with God's guidance and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to up that a little bit and push yourself to really trust God and His faithfulness. If you're here and you're giving, but it's not sacrificial, or it's just out of a blind obedience, or just giving because you always have given, and it's not with a heart of gratitude and worship, I pray that you will seek God's face to help you with that. Because if you're not giving with the right motives, then you're missing out. I promise you that. And for those that are currently giving to the Immeasurable Project, I thought I brought one up here. I did not. For those who are currently giving, we're asking that you pray about continuing your monthly gift. For most people, if this month was not your last month, maybe you paid it off in advance when you got a bonus or something, whatever the case may be, we're asking that you continue to give to Immeasurable till our building is paid for. I know that's a huge ask. We know that for many of you, you sacrificed big time for 30 months to give what you've already given. But we're just asking that you consider it and that you pray about that you continue to give. Maybe you can give first fruits again. Maybe you can continue your monthly gift. Maybe you can up your monthly gift. Maybe God's blessed you and you're in a better shape now than you were 2.5 years ago. So that's an ask. And finally, if you're here at Restoration, you call Restoration home, and you faithfully are tithing and you're giving with a heart of gratitude and worship, but you're not giving to Immeasurable, whether that's because you weren't here in 2018 when we started, or maybe in the end you weren't in a position that you could give more than you were already given. We're asking that you consider coming on board in the Immeasurable campaign, whether with a first fruits, with a monthly gift, or both. We have our commitment cards back. They're on both offering tables. We'll have some at the connections table. We're asking that everybody grab one. I know we're not supposed to hand out stuff right now. I understand that. We won't hand it to you. You can grab it yourself. But we're asking that you grab one. You take it home. You pray about it as a family. You consider it and you fill that card out and you bring it back in the next couple weeks and put it in the offering pot. Offering box, sorry. You put it in the offering box. And then if you can't get a thing, we'll have an option online where you can also do it online for those who aren't currently comfortable coming to worship. But we would just like to get an idea as an elder team of where we're at and what people are able and willing to do right now and try to plan off of that. We also have added to the immeasurable page. You can get to the immeasurable page from our website. We've added a wish list of things that we need and that are part of that $300,000. And maybe you can't give to immeasurable on a monthly basis or you can't do that, but maybe you got some cash on hand. You can look on that wish list and there's everything from trash cans to a scissor lift that we'll need to be able to do work on the ceiling in the auditorium and work on the lights and the speakers and all that stuff. So to desks, to chairs, to toys for the kids department, to tables, everything you could think about that we would need is on there. So we're asking you to look at that and pray about that, and you can go on to PushPay. You can, there will be a tab for immeasurable. You can give that, and then in the notes, you can put what you're giving it for. If you want to do something specific, you can say what specific you want to help buy. If you want to just give it to the general fund of buying all this stuff, you don't have to put any notes. Just put it in there. But we're just asking the church to pray about what can we do and to trust God. Pray big prayers and trust God to come through. Look, I get it. I know that we all work hard for our money. I know that. I understand that. I get that. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to enjoy our money some here on earth. But we have to remember where our treasure is. Our treasure is in heaven. And we're building for his kingdom, not ours. And we have to constantly remind ourselves that we give because Christ first gave. Let's pray. Well, God, I just thank you so much again for who you are. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your many, many blessings. And I just pray that as we come to this time of response, Lord, that as we sing this last song, I pray that you will speak through us. And Lord, that we would take your word. And Lord, that we would just grab a hold of it and let you do a work in our lives and know that you are always faithful. And Lord, we just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Since I ran a little bit over, my bad. I'm sorry. I know y'all thinking I'm like y'all call me Joe now. If you're watching Joe, if the band will come on forward, we'll bypass the private prayer time today, and we'll just pray during the last song. We'll have elders on the side if you need to pray with someone, but we'll go ahead and go right into our final song. All right. So if everyone will stand.
for bringing the word. Daniel mentioned to me earlier today, he's like, man, you've had a pretty easy summer. You gave me the race card and you're giving Rudy the giving card. So yes, it has been a summer of break. Grateful for both of you guys. But listen, church, I'll be brief. So I know time is late. I, as your pastor, am super grateful for your generosity. You've always been a generous church, and I'm grateful for you, and I'm grateful for God and his faithfulness. I could give story after story of God's faithfulness, and I believe he's not done yet. Yes, there is a question mark as to how, but I know that God is going to be faithful. I do want to give an opportunity, especially to those who are new to Restoration since 2018. Be part of what God is doing through the Immeasurable Project. And also want to give an opportunity, as Rudy said, for those of you who were part of it, maybe your 30 months is up, like Katie and I, we have completed our commitment, but the Lord has told me, and I kid you not, for us to continue to be part of this, as our financial situation has changed, but he's also told me to give up the WWE Network as my sacrifice. I'm not even kidding. So we're going to take this card home, and we're going to fill it out, and part of my number is going to be giving up the WWE Network for the foreseeable future. Katie says yes and amen. Listen, church, be praying as to how you can participate and sacrifice. Maybe you need to give up your WWE Network as well, but also be praying that God would do big things, because we need God to do a big thing for us, and I believe he will. And I want you to see it when he does, and I want you to see the faithfulness of our God when he does. Let me pray, and then we'll be on mission. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being a generous, giving God. Lord, thank you for being generous, Lord, when we had nothing to give you, and yet you would reach down and give us your Son to bring salvation for no merit. Thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for the blessings that you give us, Lord. Lord, I do pray for our church right now, starting with me, Lord, that we would be open-handed before you, Lord, that we would just say, Lord, what is it that you're asking us to do, to give? And Lord, I pray that our people, Lord, that their faith would be strengthened because of it. Lord, I do pray that you would do something big for us, Lord. I do pray that we'd be able to walk into that building, Lord, because of your provision, Lord, and Lord, that we would be, yes, debt-free. Lord, we pray for that up front, but Lord, we trust your timing. Lord, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You guys are on mission.